here this morning. Gene, I'm glad you're glad to be back. I'm not sure that we're glad to be back. We are, in a sense, but we had a lovely week in the Smoky Mountains. In a lot of ways, it was hard to leave. Just the coolness, for one, the quietness. We had absolutely zero cell service. It had X up there where your data is. I mean, there, and that happened about 7 miles out before we got there. The quiet, there was a stream on the property that was running through the right by our cabin. A stream, you sit on the porch, you watch the stream, you hear the stream. It was a place you just kind of like to hunker down for quite a while. And the thought of coming back into hustle and bustle and cares and work and that, I don't know. It was a little hard, honestly, just to come back to it. But grateful for that time. The message today, Gene, you said we're having a simple service. He said, did y'all catch that yesterday? He said, we're having a simple service. Well, you nailed it. Because the message today is extremely simple. In fact, I feel like it's so simple that we sometimes just about can't believe it. And we go around it. And we go past it. Because of the simplicity of the message today. And I was going to preach last time I preached. Remember I talked about lying one to another? Hey, did anybody catch yourself kind of saying a lie since that message? Anybody catch yourself kind of like, ooh, that was just a little shady, not quite right? Nobody? Back there's a few hands. I did. I found a few times I caught myself like, ooh, that's just not quite. It's interesting that when you begin to think about honesty and lying, how often we actually just distort it a bit. And I was going to continue on with, that was lie not one to another. I was going to continue on with judge not one another. And I've been kind of preparing for that. And yesterday, I don't know, for some reason, just God laid this on my heart, and I feel like I could share it in about 5 minutes and sit down. But to take up a bit more time, I made some more notes. The title of my message is Confidence in God's Grace. That's the title of my message, Confidence in God's Grace. Martin Luther King made a quote. He said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. A daring confidence. That's what faith, if your faith translates into a daring confidence. I like that thought. A daring confidence. We like confidence, but how about even daring kind of takes it to another level. A daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. So I'm not going to get into the whole thing of what grace is and what grace isn't, but I'm thinking of it today more. I think of grace more as just God's, well, we know the term is when God gives us what we don't deserve, right? Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. But grace is God just pouring out to us without too many strings attached. If we commit to following him anyway, pouring out his grace, his strength, his courage, his peace, his rest onto our lives as we have need of it. His provision for us is kind of how I think of grace. I want to think of grace today. And as I thought about our setting this week there in the Smoky Mountains and coming back here in reality, like how is it possible to have that setting inside of my heart and my soul even here in Wayne County, tomorrow when I go back to work, this week as I interact with employees. Can I have that kind of same sense, Smoky Mountain sense, in my soul, in my spirit this week? And that's kind of the gist of my message, I guess, confidence in God's grace. All of us know the feeling and the moments, may come on with our jobs or at home when we face major decisions or other challenges, moments when we feel stretched beyond our abilities, inadequate for the task that's ahead of us. Some of you are going to be teaching this year that maybe have never taught before. We can feel that we don't have the strength or the ability to do what we're asked to do. Our burdens seem totally overwhelming. Faced with uncertainties, we might become worried or afraid, weighed down by stress and anxiety. We are so tempted in these times to take things into our own control. We will make something happen. We will fix this. Instead of a daring confidence in God's grace. I'm pretty confident. One thing I'm pretty confident of this morning is that we all have a need here this morning. Every one of us, if we were honest, we would be able to probably name some kind of need that we sense in our own life. It might be a mind game you're playing, mental. It might be a spiritual, a soul need in your heart. It might be a financial, material need that you find yourself in. But I think if we were to be honest, we would all figure out we have needs. Thank God in Christ, our need for sin has been dealt with. You know, we sing that song, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. I trust that everyone this morning has experienced that. If you haven't, you can. It exceeds our sin and our guilt. I get that. God's grace. I have experienced that in my life. God's grace in giving me what I didn't deserve. My sin, I deserved death, annihilation. Jesus took my sin, paid my debt. Now I'm forgiven. That is God's grace to me, for my soul, for my spirit. But I'm guilty of something else. And I like God's grace in that, but so often in my own life, throughout the week, when I'm fleshing out this, I take things into my own hands. And I don't, and when I do that, I find myself stressed, anxious, and I'm back into that same groove again where life is just kind of a mixture, a turmoil. And I've left the Smoky Mountains. You could say. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. I'm glad David, who wrote this over I don't know how long ago it was, probably over 3,000 years ago. And this passage is so real and relevant for us today. It's an awesome passage of Scripture. But I'm glad David didn't have a cell phone. Do you think we'd have all this if David would have had a cell phone and would have had that much distraction in his life? But he spent, like we did in the Smoky Mountains, time in the mountains, in the hills, quiet by the streams, taking care of his sheep, and he reflected all the times he had to reflect. David here, as a shepherd himself, he knew personally what a good shepherd looked like. I believe David was a good shepherd to his sheep. And he knew it out on the mountainside. And David here is just drawing analogy of the Lord being a very personal shepherd to him. Just like he was a shepherd to his sheep, he's drawing on the Lord being a shepherd to him. That's how this is not complicated, okay? This is very simple, but life-changing. Let's read it together. Children, you know this one too. Say it, everyone say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what David declared in this psalm. And can you declare that this morning? Can you make that personal for you? Is the Lord your shepherd? The Lord is not was my shepherd. The Lord is not will be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. My guide for life, for all of life. The Lord is shepherding me. Can you say that honestly from your heart this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. Giving me everything that pertains to godliness. Jesus talked about water that will satisfy, we'll never thirst again. I believe we must think of God, our shepherd, as our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. My Father, which art in heaven. The Lord is my Father. Charles Spurgeon said that before one can truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd," he must first acknowledge and feel in himself that he has the nature of a sheep. We must understand that sheep are not the smartest animals. They need someone to guide them, to protect them, to correct their path, and to just take care of them. We too need a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves, guides, protects, and cares for us. You know, I love doing things for my children unexpectedly. For my girls, now they're owners of cars and they've kind of ventured out on their own. But if I happen to take their car to town or something like that, I love to just fill it up with gas for them and not say anything. And then they come and say, "Oh, Dad, did you fill up the car with gas?" You know? As a father, I love doing that kind of stuff. And maybe I like it because my dad did that to me. I saw that in my father. Just out of the blue, things that he would do for me as his son. I felt secure in that. Just those little things that he would do. And I always felt secure with my dad and still do when I'm around him. Things work out, it seems like, when I'm with Dad. Life is okay. God, our shepherd, is taking care of me now and everything I need in the future. God, our shepherd, God, our Father. He is a father. He is a shepherd today for you. That's what he wants to be. Your provision. Gene, you prayed. Thank you for your provision. Your endless provision, I think, is how you said it. That's a daring, how did I say it? A daring confidence that provision is actually endless that God gives us. Jesus spoke of himself in the New Testament as the good what? The good what?
Shepherd.
The good shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All my needs are supplied by the Lord. my shepherd, and I decide to not desire more than what he gives. Really? What he gives is enough. I won't desire more than what you give. What is it that a sheep needs? All that a sheep needs is a good shepherd. That's all he needs. Think about it. That's it. Because a good shepherd, by his very nature, will always supply all that the sheep needs. So all the sheep needs is a good shepherd. To have God as our shepherd, I declare to you, is to have everything we need. Not everything we want, Andrew, but everything we need. God as our good shepherd, we will be cared for, loved, and provided for well. Several weeks ago, we hired a new service rep up in the Charleston, South Carolina area. He's a Jamaican guy, and Devon was in the process of training him in and had gotten sick, and he called me one day and said, hey, could you go up and cover for me the next 2 days? And so, yeah, sure, I'll go. And I spent 2 days with this guy from Jamaica. I had never met him before. And we met there, started throughout the day as we were working. We just chatted, sat down for lunch, we chatted, and we chatted a lot about God. And it absolutely blew me away the way he thought of God as his father. I didn't know it was possible. And I can't remember near everything he said. I'll try to remember a few things. He talked about how they felt called to come to America from Jamaica. They didn't have their visas, passport, I'm not sure what visas, or they weren't able to come because they didn't have the proper paperwork and they weren't sure how they would get it. But they felt this, that they were supposed to come. And so I think it was on a Wednesday, he said his wife was on the internet and she saw an application for a school teacher up in near Charleston, South Carolina. And so she just applied for it, knowing that they didn't have the paperwork to come. And the next day, the school calls her and tells her, we want you to come. And she told her, well, we can't because we don't have our paperwork. And they said, never mind, we'll take care of that. The next day, the embassy, I guess, in Jamaica, I don't know how all this works, but called them, this Jamaican couple, and said, we have your paperwork that you need to go. It's ready to go. They came over with $1 in their wallet. And as he said, as they walked through the airport, God just provided. Someone would come up to him and say, I feel like you need this for the trip. Another thing he talked about is their oldest child right now is finishing up college. All three of their children went through college without money. But they felt that it was something they were supposed to do. So they went to college, not with scholarships. They went to college, and every one of them has been provided for. He talked so much about God being their father. He said he doesn't let his children say, our Father, which art in heaven. He's taught them, my Father, which art in heaven. When my children ask about whether or not they should go do something, my guiding principle usually is, do you have the money? Christy wanted to go to, what was it called? Ultra. And I asked her, do you have the money? And she said, no. I said, well, then that's probably your answer. And I repent of that. That way too often is my guiding principle in life. When God is saying, I'm your father. I have everything you need. Will you trust me as your shepherd, as your father? It's so simple. The concept. Do you get the concept of God being our father, our shepherd? Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God," I think we could say, "my shepherd, my father, but my God, my shepherd, my father, shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In our present day world, with all that we have, riches and increase with goods, we tend to still think of ourselves as always lacking something and feeling the need to get something more. Why? Why do we live like that? Someone said, satisfaction comes only as a result of the provision and peace that comes from our sheep-shepherd relationship with God. Satisfaction comes only as a result of the provision and peace that comes from our sheep-shepherd relationship with God. Verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He is our guide." If he is our guide, if he is our shepherd. That's what I should have said that. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. And then if he is our shepherd, that's what David goes on and here says, this is going to be the result. This is what you're going to experience in your life if you allow the Lord to be your shepherd. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want." We covered that one already. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." We will find ourselves, if we allow the Lord to be our shepherd, we'll find ourselves in rich green pastures. Feasting. Showing me where rest is found. It has the idea of rest. "Maketh me to lie down," implying that sometimes he sees we need to lie down. Sometimes he sees we need the Smoky Mountains. And he makes us and he takes us there to those places. "A sheep," they say, "until it has eaten sufficiently, they will mill around and nibble on bits of grass if they're not fully satisfied. But when their stomachs are full, they will find a quiet place and lie down." And it's just, it continues to, baffle me. In a world where we have so much, why do we think we need more? We have plenty of green pastures. Why are we stressed then and dissatisfied and searching? Why am I so often in that place? Could it be we're grazing in the wrong pasture? There's plenty of pasture. Which one are you grazing it? "He leadeth me beside the still waters." I am always amazed if you go to a body of water, how many people are there? Water just attracts people. We went to some falls up there, and just people are attracted to water. A place, water, I believe, a still water, like it says here, is a place to calm anxiety and fears and problems. It's rich with a sense of comfort, care, and rest. Jesus referred to himself as the living water. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." "He restoreth my soul." How does God restore your soul? "He restoreth my soul." "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." If he is your shepherd, again, he will guide you in the paths of righteousness. Not maybe. He will. But you gotta listen. You gotta hear his voice. You gotta follow him. You gotta allow him to be your shepherd. And it's not just for our sake, it's for his sake. Do you catch that? "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He's concerned about his name, his reputation, his glory. He's concerned about it. And as a child of God, if you declare today you're a child of God, follow him. Allow him to be your shepherd. Allow him so his name is not hindered or, what's the right word? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for again thou art with me. Can you imagine? I don't know how sheep respond when a lion comes out of a bush and comes after them. Do they scatter or do they head for the shepherd? Anybody know? I don't know for sure. But I can kind of imagine if it's a good shepherd, they're looking for the shepherd. Where's the shepherd? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I just believe, like, even in us, when we walk through these valleys, and we're all going to walk through them, we're going to face something that brings fear and anxiety in our lives, but God is with us in those valleys. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He protects, he guides, he disciplines. This rod has a shepherd. This rod that a shepherd carried could stun or kill an attacking beast. It was used to guide them on the right path. Is God wearing out his rod on you? Trying to bring you back, bring you on that path. He's going to lead you. That hook that's on the end, you see that picture? That thing wore out, trying to bring you back. Where are you at? God bringing you in on the path of righteousness. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But thinking of provision, that first part, I think what we learn here in Psalm 23, every person who belongs to God, by trusting in him as their Savior and Shepherd and Father, is individually cared for as one of God's sheep. He is looking out for you, just like a shepherd looks out for his sheep. We are all sheep. Okay? Just get that in your head this morning. You're a sheep. Let's all go baa, baa. All right? We're all sheep. We are not capable of finding green pastures and still waters on our own. We are not capable of making enough money and having enough possessions that we will feel fulfilled and we will finally say, I shall want no more. Impossible. We are not capable of finding paths of righteousness, paths that honor and bring glory to our Father on our own. We are not capable of restoring our own souls by being righteous enough. But when we trust, when we place our confidence, and I would say a daring confidence, in the Good Shepherd, this, in Psalms 23, is what we will find in our lives. He that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, he that loseth his life for the shepherd. Is that what it says? That's what I have written down. For my sake, for the shepherd. I'll just put that in there. He that loseth his life for the shepherd shall find it. You know, we could go to Matthew. Actually, let's do it. Let's just read this. Matthew 6. Just thinking again of provision and that God wants to be our shepherd. He wants to be our Father. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith does not equal daring confidence. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That could be interpreted pagans. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm not really going to expound on that passage. Just read that for what it is. J.H. Pickford, I don't know who this guy is, but he made a quote concerning Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs. This is what he said about it. What grounds have we to lay hold of this promise to supply our needs if we have refused to supply the needs of God's work and we have had the means? With what confidence can we pray for the Lord to honor us with substance if we have not honored him with substance that he has already given? This is the ageless principle in the economy of God. What we withhold withers. What we lay aside is spoiled. What we release returns. If we fill another's needs, God will fill our needs also. When I opened my Bible app this morning, I used the YouVersion Bible app. I imagine a lot of you have that as well. The verse of the day says, when a father, this is a different translation, when a father observes his child living in godliness, he is ecstatic with joy. Nothing makes him prouder. We get this as fathers. If you're a father here, you get this. We like when our children walk. When we see our children walking in truth and walking after God, there is nothing greater to a father. At least a godly father, I should say. I love when my children ask for advice. When they say, or like when they say, you know what, Dad, I did such and such because I knew you did it that way. That just makes my heart melt. I get that as a father. And how much more our Heavenly Father wants that same experience with every one of you. But my God, my shepherd, my father shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is it that you are having a hard time putting confidence in God's provision for your life? Is it reasonable to trust Jesus, the Good Shepherd, for his provision? Is it reasonable for us in today, 2021? Is that reasonable? For his provision, physically or spiritual? Is that a reasonable? Is it reasonable to believe that he will take care of us? I want you to take a few minutes. Get your pencil. Pen. I'm going to give you a couple minutes, but what is it that you're not allowing God to provide for you? Or a place you're finding it hard to trust that he will provide in this area? I'm not going to make you say them afterwards. This is for you. What is it? What is it that you are having a hard time putting confidence in God's provision for your life? I encourage you to take what you've written. And in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The first thing you did is to recognize your need. The second thing is to bring that to the throne of grace. God's throne of grace, our shepherd, our Father that has bountiful supply, endless supply. And find grace to help in time of need. It's not harder for God to be a shepherd today than it was back with David. I think it's the sheep that have become unruly. There's nothing that I know of that I believe delights the heart of God more than for us to trust Him as our Father, as our good shepherd, to trust Him and to follow and to hear His voice, to recognize His voice and then to follow. It's so simple, and yet we complicate that so much. I want you to visualize in your mind a lush green pasture. Got it? A lush green pasture. I want you to visualize Jesus standing there with His staff in the middle of that green pasture. Where do you see yourself in that field? Are you near Him, or are you off on the side somewhere? Are you over on a mountain somewhere? Where do you see yourself in that picture? You know, we sing the song, we used to, I don't know if we sing it much anymore. We sing it at revival meetings. "Have you wandered away from your Father's care? Heavy hearted and sad do you roam?" I don't know, like in that picture, I don't know if that's where you find yourself or not, but that's honestly, I think, where I found myself, was over on a mountain somewhere. Jeremy, do you have that song? Go ahead and play that song. Gene, I think I'll just turn it over to you after that.
"Have you wandered away from your Father's care? Heavy hearted and sad do you roam? There's a sweet, gentle voice calling now to you. Wandering child, oh come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Wandering child.
No longer to roam to that dear Father.
comes thou, saves without delay. Wandering child, oh, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Wandering child,
wandering child, why longer roam?
Tis thy
father now in trees.
Wandering
child, come.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Wandering child.
Child.